Good evening, everyone, and a warm welcome to you all. This is Wackamuffin Radio, and you are listening to Sunday in the Shires, a favourite hour of the finest acoustic music on the web. Presented by myself, Ragamuffin Brian, and my fellow musical presenter who's riding shotgun tonight and now settling back into his favourite armchair, Ragamuffin Mike.
And we're deep in the heart of the Stoke Woods. The steel is bubbling, spring is in the air, and you've got the coffee ready.
So, can we invite you to settle back into your favourite chair, take a coffee or a tea, or perhaps a beer from out of the cooler? And welcome to Sunday in the Shires.
Won't you just smoke that cigarette, baby, till you make those good ashes? country to get my hambone ball. Women about this place gonna let my hambones fall. Won't you just smoke my cigarette, drink my alcohol? Won't you just smoke that cigarette, baby, when you make those good ashes fall? Texas, try to get some smoking. The girls around this place must think my cigarette broken. Won't you just smoke my cigarette, drink my alcohol? Won't you just smoke that cigarette, baby, till you make those good ashes fall? You can have no doubt. If you don't want to start, don't fight. Make sure your butt is out. Won't you just smoke my cigarette, drink my alcohol? Won't you just smoke that cigarette, baby, till you make those good ashes fall?
Wow, what an absolutely wonderful way to start tonight's program, Mike. A duo, I believe, by the name of Rag Mama Rag, and your selection, so it's over to you for some background information.
Yeah, I was lucky to go down with Martin Kennard about 3 weeks ago, and Steve Denham, and a guy called Bill Milligan, and we all were sort of taken down by Martin to Ringwood Folk Club, which was a great little folk club, a must visit again. And there was this duo that Martin's been falling over backwards about called Rag Mama Rag, Ashley Dow on guitars, mandolin, anything with strings, and his wife, partner, Deborah Dow, playing African drum, washboard and harmonica. It was fantastic. And this is a couple tracks, Lazy Good for Nothing Dude, written by Ashley Dow, and Cigarette Blues by Bo Carter of the Mississippi Shakes, who were named after the 1921 Rudolph Valentino film, The Shake. So fantastic sort of bit of blues, I think, because there's a lot of blues
and
tonight.
I have to say, from the listener's point of view, fantastic bit of background information, if you don't mind me saying. And that sound, very unique.
Yeah, they are very, very authentic in what they do. They've migrated to France, but they come back out of the French festival season to play English folk clubs, little bars and places. Well worth seeing, because they are truly authentic, you know, and what they're doing. They take you right back to that kind of early 20s sort of feel. Of course, the Mississippi Shakes actually wrote Sitting on Top of the World, which is another sort of standard folk song of everybody knows, don't they?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Well, what can we say? And these links on the program website?
Yeah, you'll find the link to the website, and you'll find it's part of it's in French when they're touring in France, and part of it's in English when they're touring in England.
If nothing else, Mike, the stuff you bring along for these programs is different.
And we're going to stick with the blues. We've got a lot of blues in this program, Brian, but we're going to go stay with Mississippi a little bit, aren't we, today? Tennessee, Mississippi?
We are, and what I think's about to follow is pretty unique, and I mean that in the fullest sense of the word.
Talking about Bessie, she was really unique. As a matter of fact, the more you hunt in the annals of folk music around the world, you really find very, very little that women have written, certainly about themselves. Oh, yeah, most of the songs, particularly all the love songs, have always been by men and their idea about women. But actually, women expressing themselves, that is really very, very rare. Yeah. And it isn't until you really get to the blues in the 1920s when women are become just as important, as a matter of fact, in many ways, even more important than men blues singers around the world, you know, in our own country, do you really hear what women were singing about?
How do you account for that? Was it the sort of liberating effect after World War I? Women got the right to vote? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But most of this, of course, were the blues were sung by black women. And then there were white women, you know, who imitated them too, like, you know, like Sophie Tucker and
right,
others.
Right, and Mae West, you were saying.
Mae West, yeah. That's right. And it was a time during Prohibition, when you have singers in the cafes, not only cafes, but the speakeasies, you know what a speakeasy was. That was a kind of a secret club, hardly secret, but it was supposed to be illegal.
Winked at, sort
yeah.
of.
See, where sense. Liquor was sold.
Yeah.
And always the entertainment was invariably black women singing blues accompanied by either pianist. But then in Harlem, of course, you had another story because there were two theaters that were completely taken over by blues singers. And to be a blues singer at that time was really a great praise. They were the chief entertainers of their time. You know, it was a very, very luxurious scene. Well, Bessie, like all the others, I mean, this was vaudeville time. They were accompanied by the best jazz bands. You know, you name all of the important figures in jazz at that time, and they accompanied her.
Yeah, sure. Oh, yeah.
And she was elegant, dressed in the most expensive clothes. Diamonds was her favorite.
Yeah, we're talking about Bessie Smith
That's
now.
Right.
Yeah,
talking about Bessie.
Yeah,
Smith.
She liked furs, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and beautiful gowns.
Yes.
Real diamonds, you say?
Oh yeah. And even though she was at times very, very insulting and very critical, I would say more or less critical of the men, black men, and the men in her life. Nevertheless, they admired her.
Well done.
I think one of the most incredible blues that she ever recorded was Black Mountain Blues.
Yeah, that's a good one. We listened to that the other day. I hadn't really paid attention to that one before. It's really cool.
She really is down on the world. She never really identifies who the people are who live in Black Mountain. But my goodness, the things she says. You know, even though we're going to hear her say, back in Black Mountain, a child will smack your face and all the birds sing bass. Black Mountain people, bad as they can be, they uses gunpowder to sweeten their tea. Had a man in Black Mountain, the sweetest man in town. He met a city gal and he throwed me down. I'm bound for Black Mountain, me and my razor and my gun. I'm gonna shoot him if he stands still and cut him if he runs.
Back in Black Mountain, a child will smack your face. Back in Black Mountain, a child will smack your face. Baby's crying for liquor and all the birds sing bass. Black Mountain people are bad as they can be. Black Mountain people are bad as they can be. They use this gunpowder just to sweeten their teeth. Homes in Black Mountain can't keep a man in jail. Homes in Black Mountain can't keep a man in jail. If the jury finds them guilty, the judge will go they bail. Had a man in Black Mountain, sweetest man in town. Had a man in Black Mountain, the sweetest man in town. He met a city gal and he throwed me down. I'm bound for Black Mountain, me and my razor and my gun. Lord, I'm bound for Black Mountain, me and my razor and gun. I'm gonna shoot him if he stands still and cut him if he runs. Down in Black Mountain, they all shoot quick and straight. Down in Black Mountain, they all shoot quick and straight. The bullet'll get you if you start to dodging too late. Got the devil in my soul and I'm full of bad blues. Got the devil in my soul and I'm full of bad blues. I'm out here for trouble, I've got the Black Mountain blues.
And I think to myself, is there somebody in contemporary times that really expresses themselves in such incredibly vivid language? Anyway, I think some of the most beautiful things that she ever did were the ones in which she actually talks about the problems in her life. And I think one of the most famous was Me and My Gin.
Oh, that's a great one. Yeah, I love that song.
That's right, yeah, because she's telling you, look, you want me to be nice to you? And just give me gin, and I'll be nice. Don't try to give me food, you know, pork chops, as she said, and nothing doing. Just give me the gin, and I'm fine. Well, however, I think that most people have known her for the following song that we're going to hear, which is Nobody Knows You When You're Down and Out.
Definitely, yeah, that's a classic.
Yeah, it was written by Jimmy Cox. Yeah. And here she despairs that when her money is gone, no one will want her. Ah, the ultimate cry of the public figure on the skits.
Right.
That's what it is. But it's a terrific song. Yeah, once I live, I'll just quote a few lines. Once I lived the life of a millionaire, spending money I didn't care. I carried my good friends out for a good time, buying bootleg liquor, champagne, and wine. And when I began to fall so low, I didn't have a friend and no place to go. So if ever I get my hands on a dollar again, I'm gonna hold on to it till the eagles grin. And nobody knows you.
That was always a favorite.
Down and out.
A favorite metaphor of mine.
Once I lived the life of a millionaire, spending my money I didn't care. I carried my friends out for a good time, buying bootleg liquor, champagne and wine. When I began to fall so low, I didn't have a friend and no place to go. So if I ever get my hand on a dollar again, I'm gonna hold on to it. Tell them eagles grin. Nobody knows you when you're down and out. In my pocket, not one penny, and my friends, I haven't any. But if I ever get on my feet again, then I'll meet my long-lost friend. It's mighty strange, without a doubt. Nobody knows you when you're down and out. I mean, when you're down and out.
Natchez in the mirror, falling way behind. Moon on the Mississippi, moonshine on her mind. The Empress of the Blues kicks off her shoes one at a time. Bessie's drinking whiskey, and Bessie sings the blues. Bessie drinks her soul away and makes the morning news. 'Cause the blues are dying way down in Tennessee. Yeah, the blues are dying, so sing the blues for me. Heading up from Natchez in a Cadillac through the blackness, comfort in the whiskey on Highway 61, bottled up on Highway 61. Bessie's evening was over. Her night had just begun. Bessie's drinking whiskey, and Bessie sings the blues. Bessie drinks her soul away and makes the morning news. 'Cause the blues are dying way down in Tennessee. Yeah, the blues are dying, so sing the blues for me. A chill in the air outside Clarksdale somewhere. Fields of cane and fields of cotton. City lights long forgotten. Delta memories drifting by, clear as the Mississippi stars in the coal black country sky. Bessie's drinking whiskey, and Bessie sings the blues. Bessie drinks her soul away and makes the morning news. 'Cause the blues are dying way down in Tennessee. Yeah, the blues are dying, so sing the blues for me. The chauffeur in the mirror got something on his mind. No lights on a truck when he hit it from behind. Now all the bars on Bill Street are staggering out the blues. The day poor Bessie made the Memphis morning news. Bessie's drinking whiskey, and Bessie sings the blues. Bessie drinks her soul away and makes the morning news. 'Cause the blues are dying way down in Tennessee. Yeah, the blues are dying, so sing the blues for me. Thank you.
was a fine bit of research, uncovering that lady, talking about Bessie Smith. She obviously grew up with her or knew her very well, Brian.
Yeah, that was the late Henrietta Yuchenko, and she was interviewing with Eli Smith, and it was on a internet radio station called Downtown Radio out of New York, I believe.
Right, and a fascinating insight into Bessie Smith talking about that unique roaring 20s period. You really got a feel for that, about how important the music was and the women actually having a voice at that time.
Yeah, and of course, you're responsible for all of this.
Why is
well,
that?
The listeners won't realise at this point, of course, that the last section was written by yourself outside Clarksdale somewhere. And when I first heard it, this intrigued me with regard to Bessie Smith and her music and the history of music at the time. So I was very fortunate to lay hold of a copy of the interview with Henrietta Yuchenko, and the original interview is still available online, connections to which are on our website for this program, and the program lasts 1 hour.
Yeah.
So there's an absolute wealth of information about Bessie Smith, by somebody who died sadly last year, aged 91, who was of an age to know her personally, know her family.
That's what makes it even more fascinating, because it doesn't matter how many of us write about something to Bessie Smith. Somebody that knew her can actually put that across.
Yeah.
It's priceless, isn't it?
And during that, what we did during this segment when I put it together was to link up with St. Louis Blues.
Yeah.
And you also heard Black Mountain Blues in there. And what was the final? Oh, yes, the last piece was Nobody Knows You When You're Down and Out.
Yeah.
And this is the real McCoy. This is the authentic sound. This is the original recordings that we've included in this. And I hope the listeners enjoy it, because it's been a lot of research, but I think it's really well worthwhile.
Of course, you wrote the chorus to my Bessie Smith poem, didn't you?
Well, you're not allowing me to be modest here, are you?
No, I'm not. Because it was a fantastic idea that we put together for the folk club, wasn't it?
Yeah, what happens with this is that Mike wrote the actual poem originally outside Clarksdale somewhere, and then he asked me if I could put together a piece to link it, a chorus to link it, which we've done. And unfortunately, I say unfortunately, I've had to sing that part on this sector tonight because, we couldn't pay the blues man. Or,
no.
Or more important, we couldn't get the blues man.
Yeah.
So there you have it, listeners. I hope you've really enjoyed that. Mm. I know that a couple of people out there who listen to us regularly, like Alice Stewart, will probably be drooling over that particular sector.
Mm.
So Bessie Smith, the blues, the Empress of the Blues. And where we're going to go from here, I believe that the next contribution in tonight's programme is going to come from yourself, Ragamuffin Mike.
Yeah, well, we're going to have the second part of the Marjorie Thompson interview. Now, remember that we did it last time we were on air. Marjorie has been influenced by Reverend Gary Davis and Mississippi John Hurt. Well, she gives us some more of her influences in this part of the interview.
And then I was strongly influenced by Yorma Kalkinen of Hot Tuna, who is also an icon about style. And what was remarkable is that in 1999, I met him at his guitar camp and began to study with him. And we've actually become music partners since then. We teach together. I play music.
You can't get anybody better at playing guitar than Yorma Kalkinen.
He's pretty great, and he's a real generous person. And working with him has really been a joy.
Skies.
And your partner tonight, what's his background then?
Yes. Greg is from New York City also, and he's always loved the bass since he was a kid, just like when I was a kid and took up a guitar. We met in 99 at Yorma's camp as he went to take workshop with Jack Cassidy.
Take better bass lessons
really
from Jack Cassidy.
Jack's tough, and so they've become close, and Jack's been a great mentor to Greg, so he and I hit it off, and when I started playing out, he was the natural to be accompanist.
Went into a restaurant, the time was 8:30. She made a reservation, so they did have to wait. By the time the waiters served them and retrieved the dinner plate, the tainted spice had done its job and sealed his mortal fate. She said, oh, 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 one last ride, good luck to you on the other side. Just go, go, go. He picked her up at 6 p.m. She was ready for that date. Her hair was high, her neckline low. On her feet she wore the bait. She was dressed to kill, and he thought he knew how the night would culminate. But those spike heel shoes would pierce him through before the clock struck 8. She said, oh, 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 take your last breath, deep and slow. Take your number one last ride, good luck to you on the other side. Just go.
Take your last breath deep and slow. The second part of a recently obtained recording by Ragamuffin Mike with Marjorie Thompson down at the Platform Tavern in Southampton about 2 weeks ago, I believe.
No, probably about 2 or 3 weeks ago. Well, no, I think it was Easter time, wasn't it? Early Easter this year. And went down, had a fantastic evening. I did a little interview with Marjorie when we learnt about Reverend Gary Davis and the influence of Mississippi John Hurt on her last time. So I thought it would be fair to bring it up to date and to talk about the current musical influences of Jorma Kaukonen, who wrote that first song, Watch the North Wind Rise, which is a fantastic song, and also the influence of Jack Cassidy, of course, Jorma Kaukonen's bass player in the Jefferson Aeroplane, the two of them, and in Hot Tuna, who had mentored her bass player on that evening, Greg Franklin. And the last song, of course, is Marjorie's, a very sort of black piece of humour, Don't Look Back. And I understand that she wants to come back 2009, around sort of springtime. So if anybody wants to book Marjorie, then get in touch with her through the links. She'll be only too happy to come and do a little gig somewhere for you.
I thought it was absolutely fantastic. Love those two songs, mate. Mm. Love them. And she's got quite a unique style of her own, hasn't she?
She has, yes, because it's based on this pick and style of the Reverend Gary Davis and Mississippi John Hurt. But it's up-to-date, new in the sense that her songwriting goes from bizarre to absolutely weird sometimes.
Well, I think that perfectly sums it up. Now then, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I went onto the Mudcats forum on the net and put out a request for information regarding songs pertaining to the Welsh mining industry decline right through the past 100 years. Now, what came out of that simply blew us both away. Mm. And I think all I'm going to say at this point is, let the music play.
To begin at the beginning, it is spring, moonless night in the small town, starless and Bible black. The cobble streets silent, and the hunched quarters and rabbit's wood limping invisible down to the slow black, crow black. Fishing boat bobbing sea. The houses are blind as moles, though moles see fine tonight in the snouting velvet dingles, or blind as Captain Cat, there in the muffled middle by the pump and the town clock, the shops in mourning, the welfare hall in widow's weeds, and all the people of the lulled and dumbfound town are sleeping now. Hush! The babies are sleeping. The farmers, the fishers, the tradesmen and pensioners, cobbler, school teacher, postman and publican, the undertaker and the fancy woman, drunkard, dressmaker, preacher, policeman, the web-foot cockle women, and the tidy wives. Young girls lie bedded soft, or glide in their dreams with rings and trousseau, bridesmaided by glowworms down the aisles of the organ-playing wood. The boys are dreaming wicked, or of the bucking ranches of the night and the jolly Roger Sea, and the anthracite statues of the horses sleep in the fields, and the cows in the byres, and the dogs in the wet-nosed yards, and the cats nap in the slant corners, or lope sly, streaking and needling on the one cloud of the roofs. You can hear the dew falling, and the hushed town breathing. Happily apart from one another, at the top and the sea end of the town, write their every night letters of love and desire. In the warm, white book of Llareggub, you will find the little maps of the islands of their contentment.
Oh, Caitlin, my love, oh, Caitlin, my dear, when first I saw you, knew you'd always be near. You were wild, you were free, you could dance like the sea. Though the barroom was crowded, you sat next to me. I remember your hair, the color of gold, eyes full of mischief, daring and bold. Kate McNamara, I straight away fell, into your arms and under your spell. Let's wander the green hill, then back home again. Go down to the tideline and walk in the rain. I'll write in the boathouse, you'll dance by the sea. Apart we're in shackles, can we ever be free? Oh Dylan, my love, oh Dylan, my dear, your words are like honey, so sweet to my ear. With the voice of an angel, the thirst of a king, you're blessed with the words that make my heart sing. Let's wander the green hill, then back home again. Go down to the tide line and walk in the rain. I'll write in the boathouse, you'll dance by the sea. Apart we're in shackles, can we ever be? Oh Dylan, my darling, oh Caitlin, be mine. Two star-crossed lovers together entwined. The wizard with words and the queen of the May. The boy from Cwmdonkin, the girl from the bay. Come back to our bed, there's a chill in the air. Two bodies need warming, two souls need repair. The tide it is turning down on the sea. Dylan and Caitlin forever be free. Dylan and Caitlin forever be free.
Now the listeners are probably wondering how we've ended up with pieces from Dylan Thomas as a result of an inquiry on Mudcat's forum. For information about songs of the Welsh mining industry decline. Well, one name kept coming to the surface every time I got a reply, and this name was Hugh Pudner from down near Neath, Pontydawy. And we contacted Hugh, and I think really the best thing is for you to pass over the rest of the story, Ragamuffin Mike.
Yeah, well, I popped in one Saturday, didn't I? It was just after lunchtime. I'd been to the writing group and came by, and you had a little package from Wales, and when you opened it up, it was a chocolate box, and inside the chocolate box weren't any chocolates, but there was a CD, and there were just two songs on it, and the song that nailed me to the seat was Dylan and Caitlin, so I decided to put this together. And so I started with the Dylan and Caitlin song, and I thought, what can I put with this? And I remembered seeing Donald Houston in 1976 at the Wigmore Hall with the Stan Tracy Quartet reading Under Milkwood, and I wondered, and I thought, well, there may well be a recording, and there was. They'd actually recorded it the night that I was there. So I've taken Dylan Thomas's words read by that great Welsh orator Donald Houston, and I thought that it's a superb introduction to Hugh Pudner and Chris Hastings' absolutely brilliant song about Dylan and Caitlin. I thought, boys, you just nailed me to the seat with that one. It's a gorgeous song. I just really want to go down to the Welsh Valleys and hear you guys sing that.
Well, as you can probably gather, Hugh and Chris, you've totally captured Mike's enthusiasm on this. And I have to say, you've also captured mine. I should add at this point that we asked the lads if they had any recordings, and they said simply no. And so the following week, as I understand it, they got together in a small backroom studio down there in the valleys, and what you heard just now was the result of their efforts.
It's literally like a spring lamb. It ain't very old, is it?
That's
right. Great. And you're gonna lead us on a little bit now, and
well, I am
a bit more from the guys.
And in doing so, I'm going to completely tip my hat to both of these gentlemen down there in South Wales, because we're now going on to another section which I've compiled, which is directly history and decline of the Welsh deep mining industry. I hope the listeners will enjoy this. I think they really will.
So do I.
Proud to have been here for the last 13 years. In fact, I'm proud to be a miner. That alone is enough for me. But it is also sad, you know, that them wheels will never turn again as a productive mine. They've turned for a long, long time, and this is the last day. It's been like a mistress to me, and I got married 40 years ago, and I moved here 40 years ago, and Tower's been my mistress. I'm not sure how I'm going to deal with it, you know.
You say that the wheels here at Tower aren't going to turn again. Well, this is the last deep mine we've got in Wales, so no more wheels will turn. It's really symbolic, isn't it?
I don't think we'll ever see wheels again. All new mines, if they come about, and they will come, will be drift mines. I don't think anyone will ever, in Wales, sink a shaft again.
Which is incredible, really, because, you know, you can go right around the world and say to people, Wales, and they think coal, they think of the shape of the pit head, and that's going to go.
That's right. And in a way, it's a tribute. Thank God we worked every ounce of coal in Tower, and at least we won the pits in Britain that Thatcher failed to get to.
You proved them wrong, didn't you?
Vastly.
What was it that gave you and the men at Tower the confidence to actually try and buy it?
Well, I've got to say, it was two things. First of all, there was nowhere for us to go, because we were the last deep mine in Wales, so we couldn't transfer anywhere. That was one thing. But also, this pit were probably, in the last 10 or 15 years, were the most active union branch anywhere in South Wales or Britain. You know, they talk about renegades and rebels. The rebels were here. And British coal done a very silly thing. All the men who didn't want to leave the industry and accept redundancy, they all transferred to Tower. So British coal gave you one of the finest workforces you could ever want.
So you had the 200 that were determined to have a future in coal.
That's right.
It is interesting, though, isn't it, that, you know, you say you were the pit that Mrs. Thatcher didn't close. Your NUM group here at Tower was the most radical, the most left-wing, and then you became businessmen, shareholders.
We've shown that ordinary working people can do anything in life. Anything they choose, they can do it, but they've got to take a step. They can't do it sitting in a chair, you know, they've got to stand up and take that first step.
Because there's lots of different histories being marked today, isn't there? There's the history of Tower, there's the history of mining in Wales.
And we show that working people can create a business that makes a profit.
Price of coal and blood, fought fire and flood, got soaked in the mud of the drummer. I've just turned 39, I've left the skew in mine, the last shift is finally over. Now the level is stripped bare, there's nothing left down there, and I'm breathing fresh air outside the cross keys. And Tom and Mel and Jack are talking around the back of the jobs at the Darcy Oil Refinery. And the wind and driving rain makes this bittersweet refrain, and the old skew in Maine is gone forever. So many years of toil, now we're off to work the oil, but it makes me boil to think of our leaving. Because Bill and Trev the Turk can't find a job of work, and our oldest friend Iris is barely breathing. coal trucks are standing still on the top of Drummer Hill, and there's time enough to kill every morning. King Coal is king no more, we've all been shown the door, and the slump is coming closer with each dawning. And the wind and driving rain makes a bittersweet refrain, and the old skewing mane is gone forever. The wind blows through my coat, I wrap a scarf around my throat. In the bay a boat sails off the shoreline. Now our mining time is done, but we walk into the sun, and it's farewell to the old skewing mane mine. We paid the price of coal in blood, fought fire and flood, got soaked in the mud of the Drummer. I've just turned 39, I've left the skewing mine, the last shift is finally over. And the wind and driving rain makes a bittersweet refrain, and the old skewing mane is gone forever. And the wind and driving rain makes a bittersweet refrain, and the old skewing mane is gone forever.
One man above all has been the face of Tower, Tyrone O'Sullivan, former union leader who led the buyout.
I'm the proudest man in the world for what we've achieved, but I'm one of the saddest men in the world because I'm leaving for the last time those wheels. You know, this pit has been a mistress to me, and I say that. I've known her for 40 years, and I've travelled to meet her every week. And my wife knew all about it, right? But I'm not going to see her no more. You know, the time has ended. I will no longer visit them, and I'm going to miss that.
I'm just going to say that you've made a fantastic contribution to history by compiling this, Brian, and finding Hugh Pudner and Chris Hastings and the storytelling and the combination of the music. If anybody wanted to know why the Welsh are so passionate, there it was in one, for me, in one piece. A fantastic storytelling, songwriting, and you putting it together with the music as well. You know, you just want to walk into a Welsh pub and down yourself a good Cardiff bitter, don't you? That's what you want to do.
I must be honest, every time I hear this last piece, I get quite emotional. I'll go through it in sequence so people know what's involved. It opened with Lands of Our Father, of course, and it was followed up by interviews with Tyrone O'Sullivan at the closing of the Tower Mine in the Vale of Neath, And those extracts were taken from recent newsreel interviews. Now, Land of Our Fathers was sung by the Caerphilly Male Voice Choir. And I thought that was just simply so round, so gorgeous, that sound. Every time I hear that song, Land of Our Fathers, I think of the old Cardiff Arms Park and now the Millennium Stadium and that wonderful rugby, pre-rugby match singing that only the Welsh do so well, you know. Mm. And then we slipped out of the first part of that interview, which tells its own story about the closing of the Tower Colliery. Now, Tower, about 15 years ago, was bought out by miners made redundant by British Coal, led by Tyrone O'Sullivan, who is an absolute legend. He's a legend. Bless him now, he's probably tending his allotment in the Mumbles, but he will be a legend for many centuries to come because he was the man who proved that cooperatives could work and did work. British Coal didn't want that mine. They were intent on closing it down. The miners bought it, all 240 of them, and ran it for about another 16 years to 20 years.
That's a fantastic record.
And made a profit in the process and kept all those people in employment. Mm. And sadly, last month, the coal ran out and they left. Now, not far away from the site of Tower is the old Skewin main site of the old mine Skewin. Right. And we then had Hugh and Chris in their back of room home studio singing this wonderful song, Skewin Main, 1925, the story of when Skewin Main was closed down. I think, boys, we've discovered in you two an absolutely unearthed talent.
And am I right in saying you told me that Hugh lives only sort of a couple of doors up from the actual
site of the Skewin Main?
Yeah, to the actual entry to the coal.
So this song means so much to them both.
Yeah,
I do know that.
You can hear the passion in that.
And then we led on from that wonderful song into another song, You'll Never Walk Alone. And this was being sung by the Morriston Orpheus Choir in South Wales. And what a wonderful sound that was as well.
Gorgeous.
And that took us into the part interviews where Tyrone O'Sullivan, the mine was being closed a month ago now, and they walked out for the very last time down the streets and away from it, marching bands, people applauding, because it wasn't a sad time, it was a wonderful time.
Yeah, because they'd achieved so much.
And in concluding this piece on this programme tonight, I'll just sit back here, and I know you agree with me, I tip my hat.
Oh, I tip my hat to
to all these guys, to Chris, to Tyrone O'Sullivan, to Hugh. What a wonderful combination to be able to put together. It's been a privilege to work on this piece.
Well, it'll be a privilege to go down and pay a visit to Wales, I think.
Yes, because they do a whole show in Pontardawe called Songs of the Earth, I believe, which has been successfully performed twice. And you guys down there in South Wales, Ragamuffin Mike and Ragamuffin Brian are waiting for an invitation to come down this spring, summer, and record this wonderful show that you
do. Sounds fantastic.
And in the meantime, I'm led to understand that Chris and Hugh are sending us some new recordings in the next 2 weeks, and we look forward to that so much.
Boys, fantastic. Thank you.
Thanks again. I couldn't thank you enough. Well, Mike, would you believe, after all that wonderful music and emotion, guess what?
It's time to close.
Yeah, we've come to the end of another Sunday in the Shires. And I don't think I've ever known an hour and 10 minutes of music go so pleasantly and so quickly.
Yeah, and the birds have stopped singing in the trees, and I think it must be getting dark. So.
Yeah, it is. It's just getting out there, twilight setting in, and it's been a so-so day today, so weather-wise. So it just remains for us to wish everybody out there good luck, good listening,
and good evening.
Good night to you all.
Good night.